you know, the oneness of the Holy Spirit. I love it. I just love it. Last time we stopped on page 33, and today we'll pick up where we left off, but it fits like a glove from what's already been established already.
Which book are we still doing?
This is the Authority of the Believer, okay. Kenneth Hagin's book. Now he said, in the mind of God, we were raised when Christ was raised. Mm-hmm. When Christ sat down, we sat down too.
That's what we're talking about.
That's where we are now, positionally speaking.
Well, Sister Deborah was saying. Okay.
We're seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ. The act of Christ being seated implies that for the time being, at least certain aspects of his work are suspended.
And that's
now,
the
he did what we could.
Rest.
Yeah.
We should be at rest.
Yeah, we should be at rest in him.
Right.
And when we rest in him, we can function in him.
Now you're getting on my strip, abiding in the vine.
Yes.
We in union. Yeah, that's where you're going, brother.
When we rest in him, that's where we're effective. And I've seen people, the church, see, Jesus said, I say come. The church say come. Now, he said this in the ending of Revelation, I think it was chapter 22. I say come, and the church say come. The will of the church is for people to get saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and live forever.
Amen. Yeah.
And be functional, fruitful people on earth.
Amen.
In real time. But the way we go about getting that done is through him.
Yes.
If we can rest in him, we can do it.
In him.
Mm-hmm. Now he said, all the
thoughts. I never thought of this before, but her body rest. Your body might be at rest, but it's still doing a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Don't have to do the effort. I don't have to sit there and say, okay, let's breathe, Mary. No effort to it, is
yes.
So when you rest in him, the body's doing a lot of very important stuff.
That's
true.
That's
true.
So many ministers, they get out of seminary and they ready to jump into work.
Want to save the world.
They want to save what they
what
mean
you
well.
Say?
They want to do it. But the way to do it, if they do it without the rest, it's a lot of grunt work.
Yeah.
But if they do it in the rest,
in the rest,
it's perfectly effective.
Give us a supreme example. I'm not talking
Here's
about
another.
Moses, Elijah, a supreme
yeah.
example.
Well, Moses is a supreme example.
Jesus is the supreme example.
Paul is a supreme
Jesus
example.
Is that supreme.
Remember, we first met Paul, after, let's say, chapter 13 in the prayer room, when God changed his name to Paul. The Lord says, they were praying. They were getting the mind of Christ. They were in prayer.
Yes, they
weren't out doing the best idea they knew. They were in the prayer room. That's where it starts.
Yes, I do. That's
and the
good.
Lord says, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. Now, Barnabas was first. And he said, see, the order of God, through that cooperation with the Holy Spirit, Paul excelled. He had already been with Jesus for 3.5 years, but now he's being trained by a man that was in the Holy Ghost. See, when the Lord connect the dots, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
There's no failure.
You know, David Hogan had to learn that physically down in New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
He had to learn that. Sure did.
Yeah.
Because until he learned that, he was being physically beaten,
mm-hmm.
You can't
win if you just come up with a human plan. But if you got God's plan, it's perfect.
And
not only that, Barnabas could get Paul into places that Paul alone couldn't get
him. That's right.
Because, see, they was afraid of Paul. Yeah. But Barnabas had a reputation of a good, godly man.
Mm-hmm.
And he got him into places.
Now, what if they reversed it? What if Paul said, no, I'm going to be in charge?
That's right.
That's why things fail. But he stuck with the rest. He followed the peace. He stuck with what God said. And it always worked.
That's good, Thurston.
But when people jump the gun on the Holy Ghost, they're going to lose the race.
Jump the gun.
Against
like
time. They're going to waste time.
Huh.
When God was right in Revelations, he's writing to the churches, and what you were saying, people doing it under their own will, you know, the church at Ephesus, he says, this is the one thing I have against you, is that you abandoned the passionate love you had for me.
Mm-hmm.
So things that are done outside of Christ and outside of the love is labor, but it doesn't produce the same.
It works.
Right. Yeah. A lot of people are working, but they're not effective. They're somewhat effective, but they're not perfectly effective. And that's where the following the guidance of God comes in. Now, he gave us his authority.
Uh-huh.
We have faith in Jesus, and Jesus also has faith in us. He left us here in charge of this. Now, he continued with this next thought, which is very important to what we're going to say. All authority that was given to Christ belongs to us through him.
Amen.
All power in heaven and earth is given to me. And then he said, now this is the same day that he ascended. See, the end of Mark and the end of Luke and Acts chapter 1 is the same moment. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power. And that way, that was in Luke. But he said, I give unto you power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Which implies that we have power, but we have to be guided with it. We have the authority, but the Holy Spirit's going to guide you.
That gets me back to the body.
Yeah.
Let the brain do what the brain's supposed to do.
Now we're
supposed to do blood flow. Yeah. I don't have to go around doing it. The brain, which is the head, which is Christ, does it for me and then rest.
And now we become what Satan is terribly afraid of. He saw the first church link up with the Holy Spirit. And walk in their authority.
That's good. Mm-hmm. Link up with the Holy Spirit.
And he couldn't do nothing
with
it.
They were powerful.
He told his
yes, amen.
He told his fallen angels and demons and hard-headed men, we got to stop this. And in the dark ages, he thought he got away with it, but God always has a remnant. See, the church is much stronger than it appears to be. You can't go by what you see.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is where I love that song. He's always working. God is all. If you take your eyes off him, you're going to despair real quick.
Amen.
But God always has a remnant, and he always has a remedy. And he will talk to you. He'll talk to you about what he's doing, what man can't see. People want to see it, but they can't see it unless he reveals it.
You know, that's what happened on the cross. They couldn't see it. They were looking on the outside. Mm-hmm. God was on the inside.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Woo! And people didn't know that. They said, I didn't know that. And the church stayed on the outside, too.
People can be affected.
They whipped him so many times.
Every time.
That was just to kill the body.
Yeah.
God was on the inside.
Working.
Working with the spirit where we had problems at, mm-hmm. with our spirit. It wasn't just the flesh. It was our spirit.
Every time you do something, God say do,
mm-hmm.
you are solving a bigger problem than you can see right now.
That's good. So it's very important.
It's very important.
There's no little thing in the kingdom of God.
If you think about it, though, you know, you can lose a whole body from an infected splinter. And mm-hmm. if you've got that one person pulling out a splinter,
everything's
good. That's good. Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's good. That's
now,
good,
agreement. We have to come to agreement with him. I don't know another way to do it except the prayer room, relating to him. He said all authority was given to Christ. All authority that was given to Christ belongs to us through him. And we may exercise it. We help him by carrying out his work upon the earth. And one aspect of his work, the word of God tells us to do, is conquer the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's up to us. I used to wonder, why didn't God just do away with Satan? Well, God didn't let him in the world. Man did.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always man's responsibility to drive him out. Now, he's a small problem. The big problem is, you know, if we do the work within, if we win the war within, the war without is easily won by you.
Amen.
Not the whole body, by you. One person can stop. Say it's not hard to do. And this is a little aside, but what people have been doing is receiving the word, learning the word, applying the word. But they didn't drive out the darkness. people repent.
They didn't take their authority while they...
They didn't flip the light switch.
They do, but they don't.
The electricity was on, and they just didn't flip the light switch.
To a point, they do. People repent. They turn from sin. But what if we took the word repent, the way people use it so loosely, we move it out of the way and put the word reject in this place? What if we reject everything that's tied to Satan? We just, in our heart, we reject it. It's gone. We drive it out with our authority, like the Hebrews should have driven out, like Israel should have driven out all the Canaanites. If they would have driven out every single Canaanite, all the giant, all of it, gone, it would have established they would have been able to live and receive from God without interference.
That's right. Amen. No paganism.
No paganism. No blend of heaven. Just like our holidays, Christmas is blended with the pagan holiday. Easter is not even a biblical word. That comes from Ashtaroth or East or Est. But that's, they blended it. They married it. Rome married the church.
Yep.
And the church married Rome.
Yep.
But nevertheless, if all that junk was gone, now you can concentrate on what the Holy Spirit has to say. Israel would have been
the one teaches.
Yeah. Israel would have been the light of the world. They would have conquered those giants. The whole world would have known it because the giants would have been running away from Israel instead of to it.
They still have their land too.
A lot of things, a lot more people would be saved. It's just,
and if Abraham hadn't made his mistake, he wouldn't have that problem with the Middle East, with Israel, all that.
A lot of things would have, but even though that happened, if they would have driven out the land, the buck would have stopped there. And everybody would have recognized that God was with Israel.
But that would have happened if,
and so it is with you. If you drive out
all
the junk, things that's been, all right, if the Lord say do something and you say, well, I'm afraid. Well, where did that fear come from? It didn't come from God.
It came from here.
It came from the world, the influences around us that's been accepted. When I hear the Lord in the prayer room, and then years ago, when I would hear over the pulpit and the prayer, it would be two different things. Sometimes the same, sometimes different. Sometimes the same, sometimes different. And I said, Lord, why is this out of place? He would tell me why. But the revelation it would take to make the change, people would have to receive that in order to make the change.
And agree with it.
And come to agreement. Sometimes people clung to doctrines. Sometimes they clung to our mindsets.
Exactly.
Fear of the people. One way the enemy gets over on us, the Lord told me this, I was doing a seminar one time. He said the enemy causes a person to fear individually what society thinks collectively. And that's how he get over on you. You may know what's right, but if you say something, everybody's going to look at you differently.
And he's doing that now with that woke movement, isn't he?
Yeah, that's junk. But when you're grounded in the Lord, you don't need approval of man.
Glory, that's good. Say that again.
When you're grounded in the Lord, you don't need man's approval.
You need God's approval.
You need God's approval. And then God will show you how to make the change effectively. When to say something, when not to, what to do in their sight.
Yeah, that's good.
Sometimes he ordered the prophets to do a certain thing in their sight to alert everybody. And let them know that this, you've been believing a lie. And that has to happen. But even in that, we rest and do it God's way. You can't force people into the knowledge of God. You follow the format that he will give you in prayer.
I love listening to Nancy DeFrank. She is a prophet. It's unbelievable. But she said that she tells Satan, I ain't no thief now. Sickness, doubt, unbelief is in your house. And I ain't coming in your house.
That's right.
That belongs to you.
Uh-huh.
She said, that doesn't belong to me.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, every time God tells her to do something, he'll come and torment her mind. You gave this because God told you, and now you're going to be without. Mm-hmm. And she said, I am not going to be troubled after God's told me something. She said, so I get in that word, and when you're focused on that, she said, everything else.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you do this right here, You can't, I can't see him, you, I can't see you, I can't see anything.
If you keep, but she, Jesus, the author and the finisher,
exactly,
of your
faith. But she says, if that belongs in his house, she says, ain't no thief, ain't going in there, that don't belong in my house. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's good. That's really good.
If you practice, awesome. When people practice resting in the Lord and communing with him, you'll come to the point that you cannot doubt. Whatever I've been saying, you know, in this room, I started saying, everything that's not like Jesus got to go, or anything that's like Satan's got to go. The first time I said it was the hardest time to say that. The first time I said I would do all that's in God's heart was the hardest time. It was worship, though, because I want to see, the Lord will trick you. He will surprise you with something. He'll give you an instruction. He'll give you a sudden instruction that's pivotal. And just like the Rebecca, I call it the Rebecca choice. Rebecca had a visitation that came once and it was not coming back. Now, the day before, her father, the captain of her life, said she can go with Abraham's servant. Mm-hmm. And her brother agreed. And her family, of course, agreed. But that wasn't good enough for God. God told Abraham, told his servant, if the damsel won't go with you, never go back. Something happened that night. They tried to get him to wait 10 days, of course. And then it got down. I believe the Lord caused it to come down to the damsel. And she made a choice. She said, I will go. That's what we must do with the authority that Jesus has given us. I will go. That's why I said, see, this happened before. The Lord told me to do something and I waited too long. Or he told me to do something I was uncomfortable. And I didn't, if I fail, one time I said, no, I went home instead of doing what he said to do. But then I repented and tried to do it all. You can lose a visitation.
What were we just talking about?
That can be very pivotal if you're not on ready. I say in my heart, I will do all that's in his heart, so I'll be on ready. He's ready. There's no problem in God. If there's a problem, if there's a weak link, it's here. But it doesn't have to be. We have the authority to prevent whatever we need to prevent. I can't do it by myself. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Whenever God says something, I've always found it to be very, not just important, but very important. And the Lord trusts his people. We handle holy things. So if you're handling holy things, you got to be on point with it. You can't have something hindering you from obeying God. You have to, and you can't depend on other, you can't depend on the best Christians you know. You have to do your work. You have to make it happen.
They don't have your vision.
No, they.
Yeah, that's true.
See, before I used to think that anybody could receive the revelation that God gave me. I thought it was just, I thought anybody, especially ministers I looked up to. But when I thought about something one day, it seemed to be a problem with people receiving revelation. Sometime, the Lord taught me never take it personal.
That's good.
Because it. Before I receive the revelation, I have communication going on. I'm asking God questions. All right. When I say something that they never heard, or, you know, what do you attach it to? How does it fit? You never seen it. People that are well known never said it. So what do you do with it?
But that ground is not tilled and fertilized to receive that seed. Mm-hmm. Yours is. It's ready to receive that seed. Theirs, that part of their ground could be hard or not fertilized, or, you know, laying fallow for too long, so it's not good ground.
Yeah. My daughter, Olivia, she goes to Burkett. And her teachers told me that children like her, they have a problem with which, why, and where. Because there's nothing attached to it.
Thanks for coming.
So it's not like yellow, green, or orange. It's which. There's nothing attached to it. No mm-hmm. picture, no word, nothing attaches to it. So when you give somebody a revelation, and God, now they're not limited. God can use them. He knows what they know and what they don't. Sometimes revelation is to wait, get people on, to begin to be on board, you know. But when you keep the Holy Spirit first, at least mistakes won't be made by you. And you'll be, everything with God is Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Our journey has a beginning point. We're born again. One scripture has thrown people off. 1 John 3:9. And I've been praying and asking the Lord questions about this. I said, there's something here that I hadn't seen yet. And I depend on the Lord to show it to me. You know, when I want some knowledge, I ask God the hardest questions I can come up with. That's how you learn.
And that's how you learn truth.
Now listen to this. You know how people interpret it. We've been taught this way for years. I've been taught by the best ministers the same thing. He said, he that committeth sin is of the devil. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now watch verse 9. Whosoever is born of God doeth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And what people say is, you won't habitually sin. No, but that's not what he's saying.
No, he's saying your spirit does not sin. Mm. Holy Spirit lives there, and your spirit does not sin because God's in you.
He said, whosoever is born of God. Now, when you're born again, you come to the Lord as an infant does.
A new creature.
Mm-hmm. No more knowledge than you had a minute ago before you asked the Lord to save you.
That's in your flesh and that's in your mm-hmm. self.
You got the very same mindset.
But your spirit is complete.
But the spirit is made perfect.
The Spirit lives there. Mm-hmm. It's perfect.
The spirit is made perfect.
That's the reason you said.
And all it
perfect.
Knows is the fact that Jesus just saved me. And whatever biblical truths you may have received, that's it. So you're born again. You're in the kingdom just as saved
that's
as Jesus.
The soul that knows that. The spirit has.
The soul is still crazy. It's still on board with whatever. It has to be renewed. But the spirit, the anchor of the man, is born again. Now,
yes.
Over time,
we're created.
You become a young man. God, Christ is forming. And you're strong, you'll stand, you'll do what you know, but you don't know everything. You become a father. You learn to trust the Lord. You learn what not to do.
And what not to say, more important.
And what not to say. And how to get results. How to obey. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking about how the world does. I'm talking about the prayer room, Father. You receive knowledge. You receive revelation. You ask questions. You get a firm understanding like Gideon. When Gideon was putting out his fleece, he was doing works to trust God. That's what a father would do. When a person's born of God, he just can't sin. He's acting on all the word that he knows. If the enemy surprised him with something, he knows the character of God. He won't fall for it. Peter did this. When the Sadducees saw Peter and the lame man standing there, they could say nothing because they knew that he had been with Jesus. They couldn't trick him. They couldn't trip him up. They couldn't stop him. They didn't know how. That's what being born of God is finished faith. I said, Lord, what is the reference of this? I see where this is going, but I don't know. I'm still asking questions about it. I suggest you do the same because there's a lot of meat on this bone. I said, Lord, what is born of God? He said one word. He said Enoch.
What word?
Enoch. the one that he took with him. That gave me a reference because I studied some of Enoch's writings. So he gave me the word Enoch. I have a reference for it. Enoch told his son, Noah's grandfather, he told his son, he called all of his sons, all of them, Lamech was there, and he told them, he gave them strict instructions to receive the word of God and never be double-hearted. So if they followed his word, and you're not double-hearted, you can't sin. You're not going to want to, and you have the power and the authority to kill it. Now, that was the this side. And the rest of you have to go to the Lord and ask questions. When you know, being born of God is more like finished faith. Being born again is just getting started. You're starting your journey in Christ. You're just as saved as the man over here, but it's like a brand new computer without all the downloads that you need on it. But once it's finished, and now you know how to fight, you have warfare skill. You know, Paul said, I fought the good fight. Paul didn't go back and find prostitutes. He kept going forward. He didn't go start stealing. he finished his course without it. Okay.
The computer is basic. All of the operating system that will do anything you want to get to do is there. And it's the same with our spirit. But you're talking about asking God. I had always wondered when he said, you have too many, Gideon, only take those that lap. Mm-hmm. Like a dog. And I said, why? And then I was listening to this minister who said, because those who did this had to lay down their weapons, and he wasn't looking for those people. You don't want to lay down your... Yeah, because I, like you were saying, I always wonder, why did that make a difference? Mm-hmm. How they drank water? Because those others had to lay down their weapons. He was like, you keep your weapon.
Yeah. He chose the wisest, but only God can do that.
Yeah.
And you have to, if God say do something, you do something else, you're not on track. We got to be like Rebecca and be willing and obedient. Not just obedient, but I will go. What's ahead of, she never met the man. She had a lot of reasons to say no.
Mm-hmm.
But she saw something by faith. And that's how we got to be clued in by faith. What is God? What's on God's mind? What's on his heart? What can he do in me? Now, if you see anything, take it to the Lord in prayer. If the Lord give you, wake you up to pray in the Holy Ghost, make it work. Pray in the Holy Ghost till you start laughing. The Lord can use your authority to stop tragedy.
Amen.
And Satan, you know, when people are suicidal, they're secret. If the Lord show you anything, you can stop. You know,
Amen.
That happened to a friend of mine. He stopped at the shop one day, and he said, death is sneaking. The Lord told him, death is sneaking up on you. And it was a girl named Laquita. He got out of his van and went and talked to her. And then he came, after she left, he came and said, you know what? That girl was going to commit suicide. Mm-hmm. The Lord told him before he was about to leave, she pulled up behind him. And the Lord said, death is sneaking up on you. And he got out and went and ministered to her.
Amen.
So being attentive to the Holy Spirit is very, God can use your authority, but you got to be like Rebecca. And you can't be like her brother Laban. Wait 10 days. No, you got to be like Rebecca. Not just the people around you. You have to focus on him. What is God saying? Because your authority is just like Jesus' authority.
Exactly.
It's not a toy. It's just like Jesus' authority. All
right. Well, who wants a spouse that doesn't want to spend time with you, won't talk to you,
mm-hmm.
cheats on you, and as he sees us as his bride, he doesn't want me.
God can't win the world with
us to be.
He can't win the world with a spouse or a brother like that.
Okay, brother. Thank you.
Thank you.
All brother David. Thank you.
You're close, right?
You guys always your teachings mesh up in the Holy Spirit. That's awesome. Awesome.
We're gathering here. saints today of to learn of you, Lord, what a privilege it is. We thank you for your good word that changes our lives from day to day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Mr. Services, Pastor,
yes, Lord.
His words, open our hearts in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.